Realistically, what we're trying to do is just go through some things that are just timeless. Part of our DNA, part of the things that have made the Mountain View Chapel family who we are. A lot of you have started connecting with us since we've come to the barn. So because of that, this is your first experience with us. But there's still a lot of people that were with us going up the mountain on 33, Little Stone Chapel on the right-hand side that was an Episcopal mission. And that's where we started with our public services. We moved to PVCC. And so now here we are by the grace of God. And so what I think is important is for us to go back and look at some simple things that we have to work at holding on to and not kind of getting too big for our britches and kind of moving on. Because it should be part of who we are and what makes us who we are. So this morning, it's a really simple thing that I want to, and I'm just telling you right now, super simple this morning. And it's one of those imperatives. It's one of those absolutely important things. Hey, how you doing? Good. I love you. That's good. I have those moments. Sorry. Can't help myself. This morning is just faithful to simple truths. We have to stay as a family. And if you're new to us, you have to learn to be faithful to these simple truths. So we as a church family, and I'm not going to take the time from Genesis to Revelation going, because the verses are everywhere. But we believe as a church, we believe that we were created for relationships. That sounds like a really simple thought, really simple concept. But literally at the core of who we are, we were created for relationships. We were created first and foremost for relationship with God. And I believe that there are a lot of people that are searching, that are empty, that they've tried all kinds of things. And I mean, the gamut is wide on all the different things that maybe even some of you have tried. And at the end of it, there's still this like empty hole that hasn't been filled because you were created. Whether you understand it, whether you can get your hands around it, or whether you even can grasp it, you were created for relationship with God Almighty, Creator God, the one true God of the universe. You were created for relationship with Him. And we also believe that we were created for relationship with one another. And one of the things that I want to just mention about what we believe from the scripture, it's a really simple thing. I'm just going to read down some of through some of these. We were created for relationship with one another. A husband, a man, to a wife, a female. A husband and a wife. We were created, God, from the very beginning. And you can go back and read that. I'm not going to go over that this morning. But a husband and a wife. Man and woman come together. We were created for that beautiful relationship. And even the way that He formed our bodies is absolutely incredible. And if you just take the male and the female body and the way, it's just mind-boggling at God's detail of that relationship. And I can say, hallelujah for that. Some of you are like, oh my word, I'm not even sure whether I should blink right now or not. Also, within the relationship with one another, parents to children. Biological family, you say, hey, I'm single. I haven't been married yet. Those people closest to you are created for that biological family. And here's the thing. We are to learn how to function in relationships, even if we get into a biological family that we're like, wouldn't be my choice. You know what I mean? It's like, if you were to talk, if you find out the stories of half the people in here, probably half the people in here be like, but you learn how to deal with what you're going to face the rest of your life in that relationship, even if it's not a great one. Relationships that are generational, family, community, and then obviously our community of faith. There's all these different relationships. I want to make it very clear this morning. This is not a club. This is not a community organization. And when we lose sight of the fact that we are here first and foremost because of a relationship with God, then we're going to cease to be important to God and his kingdom and what we need to do. Because everything that we are being called to do, everything that we're trying to launch out and do, is from the very basis of relationship with God. Because we believe that Jesus came and lived and walked and died and rose again for our redemption, for our salvation, for our cleansing, for our transformation. It's because of that relationship with God that we have the ability to have improved relationships with the people around us. And let me just say this to you. If you've gotten over the fact that you can have a relationship with God, something bad has happened to your spirit. Because I can't stress relationship with God enough. I can't talk about it enough. I can't bring it back to you enough. Because it is the foundational, it's the launching point for everything that we should be and everything that we should do. If you were to say, Pastor Tim, you and everybody, man, y'all constantly talking about prayer and the Bible and, yep, for a reason. Because it directs us and focuses us on our relationship with God. And that's what it's all about. Relationships. I believe that we were created for relationships. Last Sunday, we discussed the foundational truth of Matthew 22, 30, 34 through 40 in the New King James. Let me read it to you again. And it says, but when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Now, if you're not familiar with the whole Sadducees and Pharisees, these were two religious sects that they always had different answers for the same question. And they were very intellectual people. And so they were constantly sparring back and forth. And they had incredible intellects that, you know, were back and forth, but they were always back and forth. So Jesus had already bested the Sadducees. So the Pharisees get together and like, oh yeah, we're going to show them. Yeah, we are the sect that's got it going on. So they brainstorm, they figure up, they come up with this great, here's this one question, and it's going to be the zinger. So make no mistake, they got their top lawyer, their top communicator, the intelligentsia of the group. And then he presents this question to Jesus. And it seems simple to us when we read it, but it was supposed to be a zinger on their part. And he says to one of them, a lawyer, ask him a question, testing him. And he's saying, teacher, which is a great commandment in the law? Now we read that and we can just kind of read it. This was designed to be the zinger question. Like, we're going to show that we're better than the Sadducees with this one question. Jesus kind of just quickly said, Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and prophets. Everything hangs on this. So you can see this guy, he's kind of like, yeah. So what's the great commandment? Oh, yeah. Sadducees, watch this. Jesus silenced him. But this is, we talked about it last week, this goes all the way back to the Old Testament, and nothing's changed. Learning to love God, why? Because in John 3:16, he first loved us. He set the precedent for love. He's been investing in humanity, even when we reject him, even when we denounce him, but he keeps working to get our attention. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for that. And it says, because of that, it is that very relationship where we're learning to love him that we have the reservoir to invest in relationships around us. We have the reservoir to love those that are closest to us. And I will just say this real quick, because we're going to be talking in just a few minutes. If you're one of those people where you have an incredible love quotient, and an incredible love ability outside your home, but it's not happening in your home, you need to redirect your efforts and bag that and come back to the home, get it right here, then go out. Get what I'm saying? You don't need to acknowledge that because that's like a confession. Just sit there and stare at me. It sounds so simple, but we cannot allow ourselves to miss the driving force behind why we do what we do as a church. It must be out of a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, by the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I cannot overstate this simple reality enough. When you allow your love for God to grow cold and distant, it affects everything. There's somebody in here this morning that nobody knows, but your relationship with God has just slowly gone cold or distant or dormant. And I want to say to you that in the process of that coldness sweeping over you, there's things that begin to change within you, and it affects everything about you. It affects your attitude. It affects your outlook. It affects your function. And instead of pressing in and taking responsibility, isn't it amazing that when we all get caught in that, it's everybody else? And we can point out everybody else and what everybody else is not doing. And what you get what I'm saying? And what we all have to constantly do is be intentional. Jenny used that word over and over again in what she was saying. We have to learn to be intentional about how we are pursuing God and how we're interacting with one another. I often think of a friend. I'm going to do my best not to say her name, because some of you that were with us in the early years, you'll probably figure out who I'm talking about. But she comes to mind. And she came early on. We're at the Stone Chapel, and she'd hang out with us, and she'd go to activities with us, and she'd come to Bible studies, and we just have deep conversations. And I can remember conversations about faith and conversion. And she comes from a very specific religious sect, and I can just remember times where literally she would start crying, and she would say to me, "Tim, stop talking to me right now. I can't take any more of it." Because I was just lovingly trying to present truth to her. And so she said it to me. She said it to my wife. I think she may have said it to some of the others in here that were back then. And she said, "I love everything about you guys. I love your attitude. I love the unity. The love is off the charts. The way you guys are with each other. I love everything about you guys. I just don't want Jesus. I don't believe in this Jesus thing." And I said to her, "That's the only reason why we got what we got going on. If you don't have him, you don't have any chance to have what we got, because this is not us being good, cool people. The very flow of who we are is because of what he has done for us. We've been forgiven because we believe, because we are trusting him. And are we making mistakes? Absolutely. We're a bunch of janked up people. But what we're able to press into comes from him. So without that," we had that conversation a couple of times. I'm like, "I don't know what to tell you, because without him, it ain't happening. Because we're not faking this thing. It comes from Jesus." Do you get what I'm saying? The reality of relationships and the functional existence are seen in love, power, and unity. The MVC family has a foundation and a history. And I want to say this, and we're going to continue to press into this. We have a history of making it about Jesus. We don't have another message. We're not trying to be social reformers. Our message is about Jesus. The things that we do in the community is because we make it about Jesus, and he pushes us into the community to show his love in incredible ways, the way that the New Testament says. That's why I've asked you to read the book of Colossians, chapter 1, chapter 2. This week's going to be chapter 3. If you read through all the epistles, you're going to see the very unction behind why we do a lot of the things that we do here at the Mountain View Chapel family. It's not because we read a doctrinal book from a thesis of some higher learning with theology. It's because we've looked at the New Testament. So we want to try to be like what Jesus called people to be. So when you look at that, we are, and we have a history of making it about Jesus. What that means is the way that we lead. We lead the way we do, and we serve the way that we do, because it belongs to Jesus, not us. Please, I want you to hear me. If you've never heard me say this, this is not Tim Duggan's ministry. And I would venture to say that you've never heard me, and if you have, you need to come remind me, and I will confess my sin. You've never heard me say, "Mine, me, over anything Mountain View." This is not mine. This is not ours. We hold on to it like this. And sometimes the Holy Spirit leads in such a way to where you have to release your hands and say, okay. But what I'm trying to point out is, yes, we're under shepherds, we're managers, we're stewards. But it says very plainly that Jesus is our head. That he's the head of this body. He's the head of this family. So we submit ourselves to him. And then by so doing that, one of the things that's been a key part of who we are, and we have to press into this, is honesty. You know, there's a lot of people from different religious backgrounds that come here and they hear me speak, and I make them extremely uncomfortable. And you want to know why? Because of my level of honesty, openness, and transparency. And it's super uncomfortable for certain people. Because there's a lot of people that they expect me to present myself as like, so glad you came to hear me today. Matter of fact, I should have invited you personally because you would be blessed by being around me. I've been around those kind of guys. I don't like that. And the scripture makes it very plain that we need to constantly be working to put away lying, put away misrepresentation, put away this whole Instagram image thing. It doesn't say that in the New Testament before somebody calls me up. There's not a verse on that, but you get what I'm saying. And the scripture teaches we need to learn to be honest, because as we're honest, it gives other people hope, because a lot of people come in here expecting that they have to meet some kind of external standard. Now, just come on in. And what goes right along with that is humility. We've been a church, we're trying to model humility. Not this fake, like, you know, Paul says to me, oh, Pastor Tim, that was a great message. No, Paul, it was for the glory of God. No, but, you know, it's... And then backwardly, I'm like, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. No, humility... The definition of humility is not this fake asceticism where you're putting yourself down. Humility is just simple, raw dependence and the acknowledgement of that level of dependence. So we acknowledge that our dependence is on him. If we press into that relationship and we continue to make it about that relationship with God, it's easy for all of us to learn humility together. You know why a lot of churches implode? Most churches don't succumb to the pressures of the outside. They implode because there's a lot of selfishness, arrogance, pompous pride in the middle of it. We cannot afford to be that way. So we have to continue to press into being honest. We have to continue to press into being humble. And then we have to continue to press in to being people who are making connections with one another. Historically, we've been that church. People drive up for the first time and they're scared to death to come into service, because they're already anticipating somebody from this county or another county, knowing their past and knowing what they've done, and watching them walk in and be like, oh my gosh, she showed up? Let me tell you about her. You know, some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Or guys the same way. And then you sense that people just accept you, embrace you, and eventually you share a story, there's a connection, and you're like, wow. That was not what I thought it was going to be. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. That's because of his presence and our belief in a relationship with God. So one of the things that I've asked you to do, and I'm going to read some verses from Colossians chapter 1 and from Colossians chapter 2. I've been asking you, because if you begin to really just, and if you're like me, I've been listening to YouVersion. I have the ESV downloaded. Download the New Living Translation as well, so I can listen to two different versions. Talking about that earlier. Because just, man, hearing the scripture poured over me really helps me as I'm reading it as well. So Colossians chapter 1, I just want to remind you that there's a reason why we're going through this together. The followers of Christ, the epistle of the followers to Jesus who lived in Colossae, you'll see some motivation behind why we are what we are as a church family. Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 through 8, New American Standard Bible, the 1995 edition. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, just as in all the world also, it is constantly, look at this, it's constantly bearing fruit and increasing. The gospel is bearing fruit and increasing. even as it has been doing in you also since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondservant, who is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf, and he also informed us of your love in the Spirit. Do you see when there's this growing love? It affects relationships. Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, the same version. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf and for those who are at Laodicea and for all those who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures. Do you see that? That in Christ himself, relationship with God, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Why are we constantly trying to encourage Bible study? Why are we asking you to take steps to get into Scripture? To see this relationship blossom, because all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this so that no one will delude you with persuasive argument. For even though I am absent in body, nevertheless, I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. We're baby stepping it in Jesus. That's not a song, by the way. Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith so that you were instructed, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. Overflowing, that's supposed to be us singing praises. I'm so happy in Jesus, I'm overflowing with gratitude. Okay, it's still a morning. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception according to the tradition of men. You know, there's a ton of tradition of men that's embedded in a lot of our DNA. A lot of things that we have to root out with this persuasive argument approach. According to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. See, it goes back to this relationship with Christ. In Christ dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you have been made complete, and he is the head over all rule and authority. This morning I want to remind us all of a really simple principle that is still a reality today. I want us to be reminded of the simplicity of this simple truth, and we must forever be faithful as a church to pursue it. What I'm about to present to you is so simplistic, but it's a truth that resonates around the world. The power of a name. Dale Carnegie says this. Well, I'll wait on that. Power of a name. So think about it. You're like me. Like our family. Driving. Everybody's getting hungry, going to one of these restaurants, and we think this is going to be the place to go. And you walk in, and everybody else thinks that too. So you walk in, it feels like there's 50 people there. You know how it is. If you walk in and see 15 or 20 people, it just immediately feels like 50. So you go up and you ask them how long it's going to be. They say 15, 20 minutes. And at about the 10-minute mark, it's like this glorious,
Duggan's table for five. Duggan's table for five.
And you're just like, I heard my name. And then you walk up and you go get seated. Or maybe it's on a morning where you walk in, it's like 8 o'clock in the morning. And you think, man, I'm going to stop by. I'm going to get some Java. I'm going to get some coffee. Just so you know, when I go to special places now, I don't even order. I'm just like, Chris Davis, can you order for me? You know, and then what did I get? Chai? What did I do yesterday? Dirty chai. It was a righteous drink, though. Okay? I'm just saying. I'm not really sure what it was in it, but I liked it. He ordered it for me, but it was good. I liked it. You know what I mean? So I'm one of those places, but when I go in, I'm just like, coffee, please. So then you wait, and then you're hanging around. There's a lot of people in there, and all of a sudden, there again.
Oh, order for Tim. Tim?
Yeah. There you go. So I walk up, and there's 8 cups to go up there. And so what I do? T-I-M. I grab it. I'm walking out like showing my name. The power of a name. So Dale Carnegie says it like this. Remember that a person's name is to that person the sweetest and most important sound in any language. Using a person's name is crucial, especially when meeting those who you don't see very often. Respect and acceptance stem from simple acts such as remembering a person's name and using it whenever appropriate. We must be intentional about being a church that invests in people, all types of people, and we must continually learn to love. I want to say again, this is not a country club. This is not a community club. We're a church. The gospel is for everybody. We're not supposed to be just hanging out with people that look like us or have similar interests on the outside. I have some beautiful relationships with people that on a human level I probably would not naturally seek out and hang out with. But their diversity enriches my life because we are in the body of Christ together. And let's be honest. If we were to peel back the external, like what car we drive and how we dress, what kind of threads, what kind of kicks we wear, all that kind of stuff, and we look deep inside of us, every one of us have this in common. And you dress that up really good, but you look just like me. Yeah. So that's what we're supposed to be as a church. We're supposed to be there for one another. We're supposed to be cool with each other. But here's what I want to challenge you with this morning. Some of you, you're about to be annoyed at me, so I'm just waving the flag. Annoyance is coming. Worse than already? Yeah, promise. This is not a consumer, shopper, or spectator church. That's not who we are. That's not the foundation of who we are. So if you're here this morning and you're a consumer, shopper, or spectator, I accept you as you are, but I'm just letting you know that our goal is to move you on from there. We accept you just as you are. But I'm just letting you know right now, we don't want you to stay there. This is a contributor, service-oriented, and participation church. If you're here as a consumer, we want you to learn to be a contributor. We need your strengths, your talents, and your abilities. You have something to add to this flock. We need you in this flock. If you're here as a shopper, looking for what we have to offer you, which is typical in the world that we live in, we want you to learn to serve alongside of us. Get your eyes off of what we can do for you and find out how you can help us be a healthy family. We need your help. I don't know how to be any more straightforward than what I'm saying right now. For us to move forward with the gospel and make disciples, it has to be a concerted effort on all of our part. If you are here this morning as a spectator, we want you to get out of the stands and into the game. Stop comparing yourself and demeaning yourself and find out the joy of participation. Get out of your comfort zone because your participation makes us a healthy family. Stop doing the whole like, well, I'm digging. No. If God has brought you here and you're supposed to connect with us, please hear me. It's not just how we can bless you, it's how you can bless us. And I know that takes time. But here's some simple things that we really have to focus on. We've got to work to get our eyes off of us and learn to see others. I'm going to give you a really simple process this morning. And it's powerful. It's something that we can easily overlook. This simple process is lived out in a powerful way when you take the time to get a name, a story which creates a simple connection. A name, a story, a simple connection. If you're here this morning, the 8:30 service is growing too. It's not quite as many people as this, but there are a lot of people here for the 8:30 service the last two Sundays. So what I hear regularly is, we're not the same church. I don't know everybody now. And so what we have to be really careful of is somehow thinking that things are just naturally going to happen. I want to ask you this. Do you know more names? Have you had dialogues to learn people's stories and to be able to connect, make a connection with people more than you did 6 months ago? More than you did three weeks ago? And there's power in somebody's name. There's power in learning somebody's name. I remember meeting Charlie. Come up here, Charlie. I'm not going to make you talk. Just stand here with me. Hey, Charlie. I worked on learning Charlie's name. Most of you know I'm terrible at that. Right, Lala? Sorry. But I learned his name. Like some of you, I may have said his name 25 times. I'd walk by him and go, Charlie. My wife says, you got to stop doing that. I'm like, I'm just telling people I'm practicing. Okay? Because I'm terrible. Yeah. I might. Then we got to hang out. And I got to hear his story. And I got to know where he's from. Hear a little bit about his heart. Hear about how he and Mayuko met. Just got to learn his story. And so guess what I have with Charlie now? Is it reciprocated? We're in public, remember that. Is it Charlie and I have a connection? And it's real and it's genuine. And it's not because we're like, yo, man, you go whitewater rafting and we almost died. That will create a story and a connection if you survive. But it's just simple living life together. Got his name, Charlie Dietrich, heard his story, and now there's a connection there. Thanks, man. So this morning I'm walking through because I'm working all the time because you know that I'm terrible with that. So I'm celebrating remembering people's names. I remember Ian's name this morning and his wife, Christy. Oh, I almost left. I grabbed that back. Okay. But what I didn't remember was his two kids sitting next to him. So guess what I did? I didn't play it off like, yo, hey, I didn't use some slang cover terms. I just looked at Finley and I just said, I can't remember, help me. He goes, Finley. I'm older. I'm like, press in. Finley. Then Rory looks at me and says, Rory. And I'm like, Lori? No, Rory. So guess what I told him? What did I tell you, Rory? What did I tell you I was going to do? Exactly. I said, I'm going to go write that down right now. And I'm like, yeah. And I bolted up here and look right here. You know why I can remember the names right now? I wrote down Rory Finley with correct spelling. You get what I'm saying? Because, and here's the thing. Some of you have experienced this. I tell you, I'm terrible with names. Is it Cindy? Whoa, it's a nail-lit morning, okay? Cindy from Connecticut, two C's, right? Oh, yeah, sorry. Woo, I'm having some breakthroughs today. But here's the thing. If I'm honest with you and I tell you that I stink at remembering names, I can remember facts, I can remember things. The fact that I press in and work hard embarrassingly in front of you, you know what it reaffirms to you? Your name really does matter to me. Even though I've got like things missing here and it doesn't lodge in there, okay? Jacob and Jennifer. Jacob and I have been talking for months now. We're trying to just, and a lot of times when I say, oh, this was awesome. You've been really cool, Jacob, by the way. But it's like, hey, can we hang out? Usually when the pastor says, hey, can we meet for coffee or something? Sure. I've got an opening in 2024. But just so you know, I'm not trying to bird dog you. Hey, can you just explain your theological treatise on, you know, salvation and free will? I just want to hear your story. Once I was blind, but now I see. I don't care about, I'm not trying to put pressure. I just want to, if I'm working on your name, I want to hear your story, because as we talk, then you get to hear my story and we got a connection. Logan, isn't that what happened with you and I? It's a simple process. We hang out. I can remember Logan's name now. And I've got his wife, Melissa, down for years now. No, Allison, you know I'm joking. So some of you are like, who's what? Okay, Logan and Allison, I'm just teasing. But you understand what I'm saying? The power of a name. So it's a simple thing, but we need to be able to communicate. And you know what it says? And this is what the church so easily, we can get so complicated and miss these simple things. When I'm working on a name, Jay, that means I see you. When I'm working on your name, when we work on people's names, you know what that says? Jerry, I see you. Jerry. He ain't looking. Dude, you just fired me up even more. Oh, I see you. I know your name. Jerry, you are important to me. I know it hurts me too sometimes. You're important to me. You matter. Do you understand the power of that? It matters. Let me ask you. I want to ask you again, how many new names, new stories, and new connections have you created recently? Now, I know somebody, I'm going to move around, Tyler, so I'm just telling you right now. Yes, I am. Okay, I won't. How's that? Come in running the doors, try to slip past everybody. Oh my word, the countdown hasn't started yet. I wonder how long before the service starts. But don't make eye contact with anybody. Hopefully they won't make eye contact with me. Don't move, because somebody might think that you want to talk to them. Just stay focused. Oh, there's no music playing either. Maintain your posture. Don't look. Oh, you in the wrong family. Have you noticed that we're like huggy, touchy, feely? If you're talking to my wife, come here, Chris. I'm not going to have my wife come up. Come here, Chris. Chris already knows that he's going to be, I'm going to be like Lori. He's going to be the thing. So he's already worried. She's like, this is what I love about my wife. She is so passionate. I'm so glad you're here. It's so good to have you here this morning. Baby, I love you that way. I don't want that to change.
I receive it differently from Lori than I do.
But I would not want her any other way. Her heart is pure and genuine. And she's just genuine. Like Chris, if I did that, y'all be like, bro, stay away from me. That ain't cool zone here. I'm just saying, if you're that person, you got to evaluate where you're at, because we're going to be in your grill trying to love on you, trying to talk to you, trying to get your name. You might get chased, even in the parking lot. I've done that before. Be like, Sandra, did anybody talk to them? I don't know. You want to see somebody scared? Yo, when the pastor's chasing, whoa. You're trying to click the thing real quick to get the car unlocked. Pre-start. You get what I'm saying? But we all need to be involved in this. The power of a name. The power of being seen. We know a lot of stories. The people that walk through those doors to come into this group, broken. Hurting. There's a smile on the outside. There's a broken, depressed heaviness on the inside. And you know, sometimes it's life-altering just to learn somebody's name and to say their name and simply present yourself like you care and they matter. That's not rocket science, but we so easily overlook those basic things. For us to stay true to who we've always been, we must put forth the effort to be faithful to the simple truths. Let's keep it simple, and let's keep the bar attainable. I haven't asked anybody to do anything. But you notice this morning, no excuses for personality. Here's the thing I'll share with you as we close. You say, well, Pastor Tim, you don't know me. Well, I can say back to you in your face, you don't know me, and you don't know how I naturally am. There's a lot of things I do in public as a spiritual leader that scare me to death. And because of my responsibility to you and other people, I put my big boy pants on even if I don't feel like it. Because I've learned that it's not about me, it's about you. It's about other people. And we have to learn to do that collectively as a church family. To let someone know that you see them by asking their name. To let them know that you care by asking about their story. You wanted to be blessed, then bless someone else by making a connection with them. By the way, one last thing for some of you. Get here early. I'll say it again, very strongly and boldly. Get here early. There's coffee back there. Get here. That's going to be helpful. You can do it after the service. But a lot of times people's belly are growling and they're headed to the car because they're going somewhere to eat. Like some of you are like, dude, shut up so I can go eat now. You just made it worse. If we get here and if we're talking, if we're learning people's names, we're learning each other's stories, it makes a difference. I just want to say that the gospel, the good news of Jesus, is the whole reason we're having this conversation. And if you haven't made that decision, I just want to tell you, as a teenager, as an older teenager, that's when my life, the trajectory, was changed because I said, I believe. Here's my life. I trust you. And if you haven't made that decision, I want to encourage you. Jesus came and lived and died for your forgiveness. Doesn't matter what you've done. And if you need to take that next step and be baptized up here, it's going to be right about here in a watering trough, unused watering trough, not from one of our farmers. Okay? Some of you have those farmer friends. We're not going to use that. Okay? Maybe you need to make that decision. I'm just asking you this morning to respond to what God is doing and follow your heart and do what he's asking you to do. And let's not overlook the simple things. Let's learn each other's names. Let's validate the importance of one another. It's amazing how the Spirit of God flows through those simple truths when we do something about them. Let's stand and worship together.